I'll have a wee word of prayer and then I'll sing some of these good old songs. Will, would you start for us this morning?
Yes, Father, thank you today, Lord, and thank you for all your benefits, blessings, Lord, and thank you for being a loving Father to us, Lord. We did so if you said you on the dead and cost our sins, Lord. We have this land, Lord, to save souls by the heart, and may they know what the real meaning of Christmas is, that Jesus came into the world to save people from their sins, and for your loving love to be shown throughout the earth, Lord, and I give you praise and holy honor, Lord. We have asked God, but now you thank you, Dr. Shanks, the child, for just them, keep safe and well, Lord. Help them on the plane, Lord, and Lord, stop any problems, Lord, and bring them back safely and securely, and help them come to Jesus tonight as well, Lord. Also, we have all awareness to those with my children, keep safe and well, Lord. Mr. Robinson, Lord, bring them back to health, Lord, and bring them back to Ulster as well, Lord, safe and secure, Lord. Also, save Stephen Carl John from my church tonight, Lord. And Lord, use his word to convict them of their sin, Lord, and save them only by the own mighty, powerful Holy Ghost, and save them mighty and powerfully as well, Lord. For Stephen and the Alice, Lord, help them mighty and powerfully, Lord. Give them strength and help them mightily and powerfully, and aid them through the medical process today, Lord. Also, we have Pat, give them rest by Lord, and bring them to church at the point of time as well, Lord. Also, we welcome John, Lord. Bless him and keep him, may I say, blessed today, Lord, and throughout the Christmas holidays, Lord, and also on our families. We realize the true meaning of Christmas is love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, give Marcus to deliver the gospel, Lord. Speak mightily through you, Lord, and give us a blessing, Lord, and reveal more about yourself and your purpose in the earth among men. Let all honor and glory to Jesus Christ again.
Amen. Thank you. Well, let's take one of our songs out of the... Did you get one, Norm? Didn't you pick it down once in a while, David? No. Did somebody pick 71? Or was it 70? Was it you, Mrs. Bradford?
I picked on 69.
I've got 69. Alright, we'll do 69. I normally use some of the old pages to mark a song and have them on 71. Number 69 in the wee black book. Angels we have heard on high. Verses 1, 2, 3, 4. Amen.
Joy.
vocal cords going for singing some songs. Let's go to 423 in the big books. 423 in the big books. That is Joy to the World, and we will stand and sing If You Are Able.
What a mess.
Joy.
That sounds more like a funeral dirge, so
let's try that again.
Chief priests and scribes, people together, and demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. When Herod, when he was privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced and exceeded with great joy. When they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. And then when they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. When Herod, when he saw he was mocked at the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and all the coast thereof, and 2 year old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet. In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, would not be comforted because they are not. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose and took the young child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father, Herod, he was afraid to go thither, notwithstanding being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the part of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in the city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled that which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. Amen.
Thank you for that. Appreciate the Bible reading. Is there a new prayer list this morning?
Yeah, tucked it in the front of your Bible.
Oh. Search for prayer. There it is there. It's in Christmas red this morning too. Please don't forget, please take one of those, and please, whenever you're having your time of prayer, please don't forget to open it and to pray, not just for the folks in the church and their prayer requests, but all the other things that are going on, all the other names that are mentioned there in this little prayer request. We'd ask that you would pray with, or pray for especially, Kate Cairns' family at this time. She passed away at the end of the previous week. She was laid to rest on Wednesday there. Please do pray for the whole family, if you would. And for men and women, indeed, that stand in front of churches to bring people God's word, because there's precious little of God's word is preached in the pulpits in these days. It seems to be very unpopular. So please do pray about that. Does anybody have any private prayer requests? 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, we will check with everybody else whenever we see them. We should remember
maybe
that.
Just prayer for John.
Okay.
John the Star. Did we have him on?
He was on at one point. I don't think he is now.
We have thanks here. Does anybody have anything in particular they'd like to put down for thanks? Well, I got a whole bunch of wee things, but the one that really tickled me was and have the old church door. I had said to Christine that I would install it in her garage, because her garage door was, it was going to fall on somebody and kill them some of these days, or the frame would break out and that toughened glass would land on it like a guillotine blade. If indeed you want that to happen to somebody, I have the glass up at the house, but the door fit perfectly, Norman. I didn't even have to cut a spot for the hinges on the door side. It was that good a fit. Had about an inch and a half to make up on the top, which I did with a length of lath that we had left over. So the door fit in, and I found a bolt, and it was all done. I think it was done within half an hour. The fastest door fitting that I have ever done on a garage. I wouldn't like to be doing it in a house and on a wing and a prayer, but the Lord really helped me there, so we appreciate that. One other thing I would like for you to remember in prayer is some of my barn roof blew out in the bad weather, so I would appreciate your prayers whenever you consider me, because I'll be going up on that roof to fix that some of these days very soon. So we'd appreciate your prayers for that as well. Anything else? Ed Bissett. Did I mention Ed Bissett? You may have remembered that we were asking about Pastor Ed Bissett down in Temple Patrick. Was in on Thursday, was it? He was in on Thursday for endoscopic surgery on his bowel to remove a cancerous growth, which went smoothly. He stayed in overnight, and he seemed to be in good form. In 4 weeks, he is up for a review. So please do pray about that. But so far, prayers have been answered for Ed Bissett as well. So we appreciate your prayers. And one last thing. I haven't heard too much from Colin just this past few days. I think he was hoping to be in Derry over Christmas. But I'm still praying for him. Please do continue to do that as well. Steve's still up for dialysis. He has the possibility of a vacuuming procedure in his gallbladder for gallstones coming up now that he is a year after his stay in hospital and the blood thinners are, he's being taken off those. So please do pray about that as well. And my prayer for each and every one of us is to have a restful Christmas. I know the world is going crazy at the moment, but I pray that you have time to gather your wits and your thoughts and just consider Christ and Christmas. And I tell you what, there's a lot of people doing a lot to get Christ out of Christmas. His children at least should remember the reason we celebrate Christmas this time of year. I think that's about that. Yes, Mrs. Brown.
Remember that
tonight after church. Yeah, I want to have a cup of tea and mince pies, apple pies, and Christmas pudding. With a little bit of custard. You don't have to have all of that in the one bowl at the one time. Although if you fancy it, no better place. Just a wee cup of tea and a bit of supper after the service will not keep you too long. And I think that's us. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Then we'll sing another song of proof. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for, Lord, just for everything. Thank you, Lord, for preserving our lives for another year. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to worship and praise you, and to thank you for everything. You know, we do need you, Lord, and I pray for your good hand upon each one of us. If you would find, Lord, whenever you put your hand upon our shoulder, and call us, Lord, that you would find open hearts, Lord. That you would find soft hearts towards you. You know all our prayer requests for Pat and Steve, for Colin, for Link and Frank and Dr. Shang, especially for safe travels. Pray you too, and thank you for looking after Ed Bissett. And we remember John McClelland at this time. We also know, Lord, that each one of us has private prayer requests, and we pray you, Father, please, that you would grant them according to your will. Please continue to provision and protect and inspire Israel, Lord, the IDF. Pray, Lord, for Colin's safe return, if I didn't do so already. I pray for the leaders in Israel and the leaders of the free world, Lord, to be greatly opposed if they turn their hand against you, Lord. Let them see what it's like to have your hand turned against them. But I pray you too, Lord, for those that love you and are listening to you when you call, I pray you, Lord, a great blessing and a help and a rest and a recharge. Please bless the remainder of the service, Lord, and please be one of our number. And we love you and praise you, and we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Right. Let's sing some more of those good old songs. We are in... Did somebody pick 70 or 71? No?
Yeah.
You did? Was it 71? The common, common man?
No. 76 and 77.
Yeah, I've got 76. You picked 76. We'll do 76. Wasn't it once in Royal David City?
Yeah.
That's it.
And
77. We're not saying the same thing. Number 76. Once in Royal David City. Let's make a joyful noise.
Thank you.
enjoyed the reading from Matthew 2. That was one of the, I think that's one of the many, one of the two or three preferred readings that are normally taken at this time of year. It's good to be reminded of the things and the many prophecies that the Lord completed, if you want to call it that, even as a young child, and things that were said about him hundreds and even thousands of years previously. We're going to be reading in Mark chapter 10 this morning. Mark chapter 10. We're going to be speaking on the subject of what we really need. I know as Christmas, literally this is Christmas Eve. It seems to be funny in church on Christmas Eve morning. Most folks are talking about what they want. And they've got lists for some bloke that breaks into their house, eats their food, and stalks their children all year. Goodness, that they always have children writing to them and telling them everything that's on their wee minds. Tells them to be naughty or nice, or he's going to creep into their house and leave them some coal, which some people might be glad of this particular year, or presents, depending on whether they're good or not. And that he is watching them all the time. If a man said that today, he would get himself arrested. But I remember saying something similar to, I think it was Stan Stibbs one time. He was away and he asked me to look in on his kids and his wife. And I said to the children, now, boys and girls, I want you to behave yourself because I'll be watching you through the living room window. And whenever you turn around to see if I'm watching, I'll duck down. And whenever you turn around again to behave yourself, I'll be watching again. I don't know if that messed with their heads or not, but anyway. What we really need, and we're going to be reading from Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse number 13. This is where the children get an honorary mention. And reading through until verse number 22. And including the life of the rich young ruler. The word of God says, and they brought young children to him, that is to Jesus, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Verily, I say unto you, that whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, and he put his hands upon them, and blessed them. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled to him, and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy mother and father. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Amen. We are taking verse number 21, as we often do in this portion of God's Word, where the Word of God records that Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Will, would you lead us, and then we will continue on.
Heavenly Father, give us this day, Lord, and Lord, may everything's truthful and honorable in this act, our prayers, supplications, our praise, Lord, everything we have in this church and whenever we leave to your home, hopes, Lord. We thank you for your love, Jesus Christ, and the blessing of our sins, the marvelous blessing you give us each and every day, Lord. The breath of life, Lord, and strength, food and everything we give to us, Lord. We know that you love us, Lord. And give us the things this day, Lord. Give our pastor to deliver the gospel, Lord. Give an unction of grace, Lord. And may you speak through him by the voice of the Holy Ghost, Lord. And approve us, Lord, as only light has to do, Lord. And give us more grace, Lord. And Lord, may you see more of thy Son, Lord Jesus Christ, in the book of the Bible, Lord. We give you the praise, Lord, and give you our tithes and our offerings and our praises and Lord, our prayers, Lord. Give us more to come to the gospel, and give us time we have this covered, Lord, and give us a blessing today for that one, Lord, Jesus Christ, amen.
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 The reason I included the first few verses was obviously that's my way of getting the children mentioned in a message you don't normally hear around about Christmas time, but it is that time of year when children, moms and dads, think they are blessing their children with toys that they've been going crazy for over the last few months. I don't know what it was like when you were growing up, but my mom used to have what was called Trafford Catalogue. And it came out in the summer, and I got to pick something out of it for my birthday. And it came out in the winter, and we got to pick something out of it for Christmas. And we loved that catalogue. That got more look. That got the equivalent looks back then as eBay and Amazon gets today. But I want you to notice, as we will see in both of these instances, that the children didn't get little toys when they came to Jesus. In fact, whenever they came to Jesus the first time, a lot of the Lord's helpers, in quotes, they were annoyed at the mothers and fathers letting the children come and bother Jesus. But you'll note what the Lord said, suffer the little children, let them. They might be full of beans, they might be bouncing off all the walls, but you know what, if they're in church and they want to hear about Jesus, take that in the chin. Because, let's be honest, in God's sight, we're all little children. You have to be patient with little ones because, do you know what? Teaching them is not just a job of work, but it's necessary for them to be able to look after themselves in the years to come. And this is what Jesus did. He lifted them up and he put his hands on them and blessed them. Just a wee prayer. Can you imagine Jesus blessing your children? That might give you a little bit of a wee bit of a G up when it comes to doing what God says. You know what they call, isn't it, the Godfather and the Godmother that they have in many of these, in quotes, baptism ceremonies for infants. And then once they're in church and they've done all that, they go out to the pub for a drink and, in quotes, wet the baby's head. But that's not what we're here to see. But even as adults, we still have our own ways of going mad. And this story is one of them. Now, remember the title for the message is What We Really Need. We have a young man, and this is called, he's called the Rich Young Ruler. And I remember a message that was preached, I think it was preached by an evangelist, Paul Forrest, and he had a message called The Rich Man. And he used this first one, which had the rich man in his youth, and then he had the account of the rich man in his prime, where he's talking to God because he's had a great harvest, and he says, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger. And then, of course, you know that the word of God records God's thoughts towards him. He said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of you, and who gets the barns? And then, of course, we have in Luke chapter 16, the rich man in his life, the rich man in his death, and the rich man in eternity. And you need to know, rich people don't go to hell. Lost people go to hell. It's just that, unfortunately, in this day, people don't just set up riches as their God. They set up many other things as their gods as well. So he comes round to God. And there's a breakdown, if you like, that shows us exactly what's going on in this young man's head. First of all, he came running. He wasn't full of himself, he wasn't haughty, he wasn't expecting Jesus to come to him. He was humble enough to know that he had a need, and he went to Jesus. And he entitles him Good Master. Now, he didn't call him Rabbi, and normally Rabbi is referred to as your teacher. He calls him Good Master. And the question that is on everybody's hearts, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus takes the title of good master, but he says, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. In other words, inferring that he is God. And this is what Jesus says. This is what a lot of people say. Follow the commandments. And he says, don't kill, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear, don't lie, don't defraud, don't steal or covet, and honor your father and mother. Those commandments will help you live with your neighbors and treat them right, and them you. But they're not going to save your soul. And the young man says, but do you know what, Lord? I have done all those things, even from a child. And there's something missing. It's not working for me, otherwise I wouldn't have come running to you. And the linchpin in all of this is the start of verse 21, because if we skipped out the description of how Jesus spoke to him, you could have had a God in heaven with the light of God beaming on him just saying, you've set wealth up as your God. You need to deal with it. You need to be the master of your wealth and not let your wealth be the master of you. But that's not the way God operates. This man had everything that he could want. He had his Transformers toys. He had his new mobile phone. He had a new laptop for his work. He had double glazing. He had a boiler. He had a big cane Corso dog. He had a low profile wings on his chariot. All that. He had everything he could want. Everything he could lay his eyes on. But even at that, he learned a lesson that many people don't learn. That things and stuff do not save your soul. And Jesus, the Word of God, and this is the way that God operates. Even when he opposed the scribes and the Pharisees, he loved them and wanted them saved. And we do know that Nicodemus got saved, the master of Israel. Jesus, beholding him, loved him. He gave him what it was that he really, really needed. You need a big change in your life. He didn't say selling everything to the poor would save your soul. He didn't say taking up your cross and following me would save your soul. He was showing this man that those things that he had set up in his heart had control over him, and they were barring him from heaven. He said, you need to be able to get rid of everything that you can lay your hands on, because God is the most important thing in your life. That is the way you need to see it. And it doesn't matter whether you have much or little. You need to be able to say goodbye to it if God commands you to. And it's difficult. It's difficult to say goodbye to the things you lean on in this world. It's difficult to say goodbye to your comforts. I'm not saying God's going to say you have to, but sometimes you might have to. You might have to go out in the rain. You might have to go out in the cold. You might have to spend some of your money. You might have to. But you need to be in control of your life. Not your pleasures, not your lusts, and not your possessions. Now the Bible records, just because someone hears the gospel does not mean it's going to be a happy ending. We see here Mark noted down that the expression and the intent of Jesus. He loved this young man. He knew what was coming down the road for him, and he explained exactly what he needed, because he knew it. He also recorded the face of the young man. I don't know if you've ever seen somebody's face drop when the rug is pulled out from underneath them, or when they realize they've been going the wrong way about things for their whole lives, and they're going to have to turn a corner if they want their lives to be any better. But that's exactly what Mark recorded. The young man went away grieved. And the Bible says because he had great possessions, but in reality, the great possessions had him. There's a great little verse in Luke 12 and 15, and it says, take heed and beware of wanting every single thing you lay your eyes on. Beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things that he possesseth. In the same way that you have to repent of your sin to make room for Christ in your life, sometimes you need to make a bit of elbow room in your life to make room for Christ in your life. To get that God that is controlling you out of your heart, to leave space for the Holy Spirit to take up residence. And I'm going to say it again, it does not mean only poor people are getting to heaven. It means quite simply that those whose hearts are eternal, those who have repented of their sins and have trusted in Christ as their Savior, those are the only people going to heaven, whether rich or poor, black or white, young or old, educated, uneducated. It doesn't matter. The only folks going to heaven, saved folks. That's it. I'm sorry for my sins, Lord. Please forgive me. I'm going to trust in what your Son did on the cross for me 2,000 years ago. I have committed adultery in my heart, I've killed in my heart, I've stolen and coveted in my heart, I've lied, I haven't honored my mother and father. Just those commandments in verse number 19, I have done those either with my hands, with my body, or I've done them in my heart. And I need to be saved because I know there's an ongoing penalty. Until it's paid, the penalty is due and it's on my account. Please save me. Until a person does that, they're not saved. We know that the young man realized that everything that he had actually had him. And he left without getting right with God. And the sad thing about it all is, Jesus loved him when he told him. He wasn't being mean. He wasn't punishing him. He was just laying it out for him. This was an educated young man. He was well to do. Just because you have worldly wisdom doesn't mean you're on the road to heaven. I got to thinking, even as I was reading this, that in the same way that the Lord knew what was coming for that young man, indeed, it may have been three different rich or wealthy men. In the same way that the Lord knew what was coming for that young man, as far as our sermon is concerned, how many people in this world do you think the Lord can look at and see what's going to happen at the end of their days and see beyond that and see where they're going to be spent at the end of the ages of eternity? For all those folks whose lives are given over to the pursuit of anything and everything except God, how many people do you think God can see their end? All of them. All of us. He can see our end, and he knows. He knows hell is awful. He went down there. He created it for the devil and his angels. And he went down there to take captivity captive the 3 days that he was on the cross. And he knows. He saw face to face the rich man in Luke chapter 16. He spoke to Abraham, and Moses, and David, and Solomon, and Saul, and all of the children, Joshua and Caleb, all of the children of Israel, that had either gone to hell or were in paradise. He could see them all, and he spoke to them all. And he knew that before it happened. He saw the bad decisions. He saw the false gods being set up in their hearts. He saw their ears being stopped and them refusing to listen to every time a hand was stretched out, in our case with a gospel tract back in the day, with the word of the gospel or a word of the Old Testament. He saw it all. He also sees the indulgences that people indulge in. And he also sees it whenever it turns to dust in their mouths. Whenever they realize, like the rich young ruler, it's not this, whatever I'm doing is not cutting it for me. There's something missing. And they ask the question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I remember an older gentleman back whenever I was a younger gentleman in Nelson Drive, and explained the gospel to me, and he got it. And this is what he said. You mean to tell me that, and he didn't mention a drink. If I get saved, I'll have to quit drinking. And he said to him, no, you'll not have to, you'll want to. You'll want to please God. Never heard from him again. I'm assuming he chose drink. I don't know. That was 15 or 20 years ago. I don't know if he ever got saved. I pray that he did, and he was prayed for many times, but I don't know. See, Lord, what was written about in Mark chapter 10 and the rest of the Gospels, of course, he has the same concern for us that he had for that rich young ruler back in the day. He wants us to take control of our lives and not let our stuff or our lusts be in control of our lives. Sadly, I had the second opportunity in my life to behold a soul that lived a good long life in a country that was coming down with ministers and the free availability of God's word. Reject it. Reject the free gift of everlasting life time and time again with the words, I'm not interested. Even on our deathbed. And you need to know that whenever you're ministering to people on the brink of eternity, or you're on the brink of eternity, this stuff doesn't matter. Doesn't matter your watch. I'm going to tell you something. I have an old work solar watch. It's about as long, it's as old as I am here and there, about 30 plus years old. I have a slightly better one that I use for kicking around day by day, and then I got a really cheap, steady looking one that looks nice in church. I wasn't thinking about any of those when I was in hospital. You don't think about those things. You start to think about what's coming next. And for the Christian, that's a great blessing because you know what's coming next. For the lost soul, you don't know. I think it was Voltaire or some heretic said, I take a fearful leap into the dark. Christian, you step off this life into the hands of the Savior that gave us life on the cross of Calvary for you. The rest of this doesn't matter. Inch by inch, thing by thing, they cease to be important. All that's important is that you have Christ as your own personal Savior. That's all. And I made a point, and it's not about me. Whenever I started to get better, I noticed my interest in things of the world picking up again. Where's my watch? I even wanted Monica to bring in a couple of cotton buds because my ears were dirty. I wanted to be clean. Before that, I didn't care. And I can imagine this second person opening her eyes in eternity after a lifetime of saying, I'm not interested. I don't want to hear. I have no need of that. Calling out to the Lord she sees away in the distance, and illustration-wise for the sake of the sermon. And him looking over his shoulder and saying, is that you? I'm not interested. If God said the same words to us that we said to him and his messengers throughout our lives, would we be going to heaven? Anyway. I'm going to tell you something, friends. There's not one person, there's not one thing, and there's not one activity on the face of this world that is worth that. Not one. The bitterness and the fear and the anger as we inevitably say goodbye to all those things that we have staked so much of our lives in. I've seen it twice in my whole life, and that's twice too many. This is what the Bible says, and it says it a number of times. In Mark chapter 8, just a chapter or so previously, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What use is it? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So this is what God did for us. So he tells us in his creation there is a God. And he tells us in history that he sent the Messiah. Broke the clock on two. In the world tells us, you only got to look at it at the moment, that we are most certainly fallen and very sinful creatures. Without a redemption in the world at all. And he tells us in his word every single thing we need to know about getting saved. And why does he do that? He does it because we are his creation, we are eternal, immortal souls, and he loves us. And we need it. How does he do that? It's really straightforward. Through the sacrifice of his son Christ Jesus for 33 years in this world, and then in the shedding of his blood and the giving of his life on the cross of Calvary. When was it done? It was done and finished 2,000 years ago. It is by faith how you see it. Where? In a little place called Israel. That was still kicking about 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. And who was it that did it? Who was it that provides this great salvation for us? It's God. All we got to do is say, I am sorry. I have done it wrong. Please save me. And he will save any repentant soul. From what? From us constantly breaking his laws. I know for the sake of the legal system in this world, that there are some laws that you can break and there's a statute of limitations on them. They will not chase you down for them after 5 years, 10 years, whatever. But there are some laws when you break, there is no statute of limitations. If you're caught when you commit it, you'll go to jail. If you're caught 50 years later, you'll go to jail for it. There is no statute of limitations on our sin. When we break any one of God's commands, not just the half a dozen that were mentioned in verse number 19, but all of them, and we have, we're guilty. And we're guilty until the day we die, and even in heaven we'll be guilty still, but we'll have been saved as Christians through Jesus Christ. But what about that soul that doesn't say I'm sorry, that doesn't admit that they're wrong? Doesn't matter who you are. It's the same solution. Whether you're a great sinner or a small sinner, whether you're a lifelong sinner, whether you're just starting out in your sin, it might not be what you want to hear. Just like every kid that has lemonade and McDonald's on their mind when they're sat down to broccoli and boiled potatoes with gravy and mince. Might not be what you want to hear, but it's good for you. Especially the broccoli. You must be born again. After a few visits to the cold face of life, anybody that's got a few wrinkles and a few grey hairs will see that the gods that people set up on their lives are no good whatsoever when the rubber meets the road, when tragedy strikes. But the God of the King James Bible, our Father, his Son, the Holy Spirit, his inspired and preserved Word, those are what we really need, and those survive the acid test of everything else disappearing. That's what we really need. And the strange thing about it is that all things become new to you again. Stuff that you maybe had sitting in a cupboard, that maybe the glitz wore off because you were trying to find purpose in it, it becomes useful again, maybe even enjoyable, whenever you give it its right place. And it is exactly where we need it to be. And God needs to be first. Everything else can come second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth down the line. Some people might say, well, you know what? I don't fancy that. It's not to my taste. Remember, dear old Billy, he gets a mention from time to time. If you ever sat with Billy and McDonald's, and we did, I guarantee you he kept the salt companies in business. And he said he couldn't taste his food without it, and we were wondering, how do you taste anything else but salt? There is a trick to getting off the salt and to getting the sugar out of your diet. You take it out, and you tell yourself, this is good for me. And before very long, you don't have to tell yourself it's good for you to make yourself eat or that thing without salt or without sugar, because your tastes have adjusted. And it's the same for the Christian life. Your tastes will change. And God will help you with that. But regardless of what the world offers or promises, regardless of what your friends say you should be doing or what the devil tempts you with, what we really need is Jesus Christ, not just at Christmas, but all the time. That's what folks think. They need Christ as their Savior. A Father in heaven that can bear their souls to them. A Holy Spirit that will never leave you, never forsake you, and through whom all the promises and gifts and provisions that God has for you are delivered. God loves each and every one of us, and wants each and every one of us in heaven. But if a soul can't bear to sing some of those good old hymns, and read this good old word, and have it chewed over and prepared for you, like I have done, do you think they're going to like heaven? God loves you, and God bless you, folks. Thank you for your good time and attention. Got one song to sing by way of finishing. I think it's in the back here. Hymn number. Did we have a I'm looking at the wrong one again. Would you believe that? Number 77. That's Silent. That's what it says. For the tune of Silent Night. Still the night. Holy the night. Stand with me and make a joyful noise as we sing our closing.
Oh,
thank you very much. Don't forget our absent brethren. Amen. And for those that are traveling and trying to make it home, and those that are just not well right now, and our brothers and sisters across the world, I pray that this Christmas will be an eye-opener for all. God asks you to do something, do it. You'll never regret it. Let's close our eyes and we'll be dismissed for the morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, even though we know it's not the kind of year that all these events took place, but I thank you that we have a time where we can think on you, Lord, and celebrate, Lord, what you've given us. Thank you, Lord. Please bless us as we part company. Please don't forget Israel ever, Lord. Please provision them, I pray. And see us safely home and back at the next appointed time this evening. And Lord, we love you and praise you. Thank you for loving us and saving us. We ask all this, Lord, along with our private prayer requests, and you have our thanks for all, not just saving our souls, Lord, but for all the things you do in between time until we see. Please come quickly. Please, Lord, let us keep our eyes upon you. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Folks, God bless you.
Full bar.
Yeah, it doesn't matter, will it? Thanks, sir. Just pick one.
Yeah.
God bless you, Norman. God bless you.
Here, Mark, I'll take your hand, too.
I don't think that's very good.
Yeah, there was, you left it back on that seat.
Oh,
so
there we go.
I'm just going to go get us stuff organized a bit for tomorrow.